Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, wouldn't life be a lot easier if we could really understand each other better? We have so many expectations for other people and for in relationships with them. There are so many ways we'd like to change them. But what if we understood what we can change and what we can change about them? Wouldn't that make it easier? So actually, there is a way to understand this, and we're going to talk about it on the show. It's about the human design system, which I've had many shows on before, and this is about relationships. This is going to be about how to understand each other and why we can understand each other better. So to help us do that is really who's a person who's a partner of mine in human design, because we are both analysts and we love to share information with each other about all the importance of human design and how we love it so much. So we like to do that on the air as well. And so that's Regina Concatelli. Regina, welcome to Human Design. I'm so glad to talk with you again.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, the benefit we have is we know each other's design, so we know how to relate to each other.
I'm so grateful to that. You know, I'm so grateful that you understand me in ways that, you know, you get it about my idiosyncrasies, about my fears, about what runs me in life. And so we can talk at that level where you relate to who I truly am.
Exactly, and for you to me, you know, knowing what works for me, knowing how things, I like things simple and easy.
Right.
Keep it simple.
But we're friends, and it's different than being married to somebody. For instance, my wife and I have very different human designs, and we are happy living together, and we really believe we truly love each other. And there's so many things about her and about me that we have to roll our eyes about and go, oh, my gosh, I have to live with that. And yet it's a challenge. But then again, we don't choose partners who aren't a challenge for us to grow, because otherwise it gets boring.
Well, it's a rolling of the eyes, but I think it's also like a surrender into accepting that this is the way this person is, by having the language of human design to explain some of that. I think it allows people to relax and accept each other.
Yes,
and we do. And we can take this on very simple level. I mean, it's just if people understand their type, how the different types get along or how they don't get along.
Yeah, let's do that, because my wife and I are different types. And in human design, there are only a small number of types, so it's easy to find the category that we're in. And let's also say that people can get their designs, their human design charts for free by contacting you or me, and we can send them a free chart.
Yes, it would be great to have their chart in front of them so they can follow along with this program and some of the other ones we've done.
Right. And so how do people contact you? They could do that right before they listen to the rest of the show or while they're listening.
Right. They can go to my
show.
They can email me at regina@alignwithyourdesign.com. That's A-L-I-G-N, the word with. The word your, Y-O-U-R, and design, DESIGN.com, alignwithyourdesign.com.
Right. Or they can, you know, do peter@heartriver.org, and you and I will be happy to assist.
Exactly,
and,
with the charts.
Right.
And actually, on my website, on the home page, I have 7 tips for relationships. So there's,
oh, good.
They can find out from the radio state our program today, and there's more.
Oh, I want to get to that site right away. See what you have to say. But we'll talk about it in the show anyway. So what are these types? Let's talk about the major types in human design, because there's so many nuances in human design, but there are also major categories. So what is your type?
Well, I'm a generator, and there's 70% of the planet are either fall under that big category of generator, and you're manifesting generator.
No, I'm not, actually. If you remember, I'm a generator also.
I see. You have a connection to the throat, but you're a generator. Okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true. My throat is defined, so often if a generator's throat is defined, very likely they might be a manifesting generator. Because we manifest from our throats, and that's the word that we empower in ourselves is what we say, and that creates manifestation.
So generators are the type of people that like to keep busy with things and have a lot of energy, particularly if they've got something to respond to and it's something that gives them pleasure, or they would feel satisfied. So it could be sweeping the floor, it could be building a building, it could be a sales job, a physician, it could be anything that that they can give their physical energy to. They have a lot. They have physical energy to give.
And that's because in human design, there's a people, if they're looking at the chart, there's a square that's either red. It's the second square up from the bottom. It's either red or white. And if it's red, that means you're a generator. And that's the second chakra, and that's the motor in human design. That's our generator motor. And it's a sacrum. It keeps us going. It pushes us to be busy.
Life force, yes.
Yes.
Life force energy. And
not everybody has that.
Excuse me?
So 30% of the population don't have that motor.
Right. And then those types fall into other three categories.
Right. And so I have that motor, you have that motor, and we're busy people. And we think being busy is good. And we're just, you know, even when we go on vacation, we are busy. And yet we're not projectors. So what if we're in a relationship with someone who's a projector? What do we expect of them?
Well, projectors are people that have a completely different way of operating, in that it's not that they don't have energy, but their energy functions very differently, and they're more here for directing and guiding energy in people, and really learn about themselves through interacting with other people and learning about other people.
I always say that us generators are slaves to our energy, that we just can't stop using it. And so projectors are here to help us nurture ourselves better and be smarter about using our energy.
Better use. They're very efficient, projectors, because they don't have that consistent ongoing motor. They have to be a little bit more efficient with their energy. Those electric cars, they got to pull over to the side of the road and plug in, take a little nap to get their energy back up.
Right. My wife is a projector, and projectors are 21% of the population, so it's a pretty large number. And they are not slaves to their energy. And my wife meditates sometimes three times a day. She does yoga an hour and a half a day. She's always talking about our next vacation. And yet she's a busy person, but she's really into self-nurturing and wants me to self-nurture myself more. She's really on my case to cut back and, be easier on myself. So it's good for every family to have a projector in it.
At least one. Yeah, you definitely want to have, in your business or in your family, have at least one wise projector, one that knows that they need to have the rest. Not all projectors know what your wife knows.
Right, that's true. But then they wonder, a lot of projectors wonder about themselves, why they're not driven in the same way that other people are, like us people with motors. And when they learn that they're a projector and they're not here to stir the pot, they're really here to design the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a different mentality. And then there are chakras in human design. As I was saying, we have a second chakra that's very active. But human design is a nine chakra system, a nine center system. And four of those centers are actually motors. And many projectors have none of those centers that have motors in them. And those people have a hard time getting out of the house. They have a hard time being driven. And when I work with them, often they'll say, I don't know how to get myself going. And I say, well, you have to latch on to somebody with a motor and help, you know, use their motor to get yourself going. Get a partnership going with someone who's got a motor, and they'll pull you along.
Yeah, I had a projector who is in that situation, doesn't have any motors defined, and she knew about her human design, and she would say, unless somebody's around, not much gets done. I'm just laying around.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, they need others.
And there are so many of them out there who need that. So it's good that for people to understand they're in that category.
So for the projectors out there that are around generators, it's like, well, how do I get them to help me out? And one important thing for projectors to know when they're relating to generators is to ask yes or no questions, is to ask, you know, do you have energy for this? Would that be satisfying for you? Could you help me with this? I mean,
right. Generators work on a vibration of on and off, of and so it inspires them to feel that, let's get going.
Yeah, give them something that they can engage with. So that's really important for projectors that want, you know, it's like, well, how do I get these people to help me out? Well, ask them.
Right. And projectors are fussy, too, because they really live in a sense of their own design, a sense of who they are. They don't have to know human design for it. Projectors really have an idea of their presence, and they want to be appreciated for it and want to be recognized. The main theme of projectors is to be recognized for who they truly are.
If you have projector children, that's really important to know. It's, you know, you might have two children. One's a generator, one's a projector. It's how you would relate to them would be very different. There's some subtleties in how you would, you know, engage them or encourage them into whatever activity, whatever's going on, whether they pick up their toys or get ready to get out the door. It's like, projectors need a little bit more encouragement, invitation, recognition. Where a generator, you can just ask them the yes or no question. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, they want to use their motor.
It's like, oh, I get to go somewhere, I get to get up, I get to move. Okay, yes.
Good.
Projectors
now,
should take a little more.
But let's talk about manifestors, because manifestors have a tough life. Because they expect too much from others.
Yeah, they think others are like them, and they're not. It's a big disappointment. I mean, it's a great revelation when they find out that they're a manifestor, because they're here to take action, and they don't necessarily need other people to take that initial action.
Right, but then they need people to cooperate.
They need people for support and ongoing support. But the confusion for them is, well, why can't people just do it? Why can't they just get with it? I had a manifestor client who we did charts for his children and his daughter, early teens at this point, a projector. He's like, why do I have to always ask her why can't she just go do it? It's like, that's a typical manifestor reaction.
Right.
It's like, well, I can just go do it. Why can't other people just go do it?
Manifestors don't like to ask. They like to tell. And they don't explain themselves enough in their telling, because it feels too much like asking. So
yeah,
it's difficult when you have a child.
That's where the word is with manifestors is, it's not informing others.
Right. And manifestors are about 8.5% of the population. So there are quite a few manifestors around who have this energy. I call it the energy of the old kings and queens. You know, they wake up in the morning and they say, this is what I want. And they expect everybody to jump or heads will roll. But nowadays, kings and queens aren't respected the same. And so people don't respond to manifestors the same way, and manifestors expect that people will all jump when they want something, and they don't know how to explain themselves well enough.
Well, that's where human design comes in, because they can really see that the difference in how people react to them when they actually do inform versus if they, you know, do the dictator role. How that doesn't work, that it really benefits them. Ultimately, it really benefits them and can bring them a lot more peace of mind.
Yeah, but they have to learn to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But when parents are bringing up children as manifestors, children really do need to learn to ask, because that's how they learn. But as they grow older, that desire to ask will disappear, and they'll want to just tell. And they have to learn that they're manifestors and how to live with that. So then we have reflectors, which are only 1.5% of the population. And I've worked with quite a few of them, because I've worked with so many people with human design, but still it's a very unique category, because reflectors really just reflect what's going on around them, and then they respond to what they're reflecting.
Yeah, each one that I have worked with has been so different that you know, to say they're unique is an understatement. And also, not only do they have a really unique design, meaning that all those nine centers are all white, so they're reflecting whatever's in their environment or reflecting back to the people that they engage with. It's a very kind of a soft kind of life, you know, force. And so how they cope with that, you know, is very different. I mean, there's a lot of self-acceptance that has to take place with reflectors to really contribute in a way that works for them, because they do have a lot to contribute.
Yes. So they're
the wisest people, the wisest ones.
They are, because they're reflecting what's around them, and we can learn from them so much about ourselves. But let's talk about some of the centers that are most vulnerable in relationships and how we relate to each other. For instance, our solar plexus chakra is our feelings, our emotions, and that's the third chakra, and that can either be colored in, which is tan, or white. And mine is colored in. For instance, my wife is not colored in. So, Regina, what does that mean to you?
That means that your wife will have to have patience with you as you have much more emotional depth and processing, and how you process information is very different from hers.
Yeah, she thinks I waste a lot of time working with my feelings.
Exactly. That's what I mean, patience. And for people looking at their chart, it's the one that's over on the far right. That's the emotional center. So whenever there's a relationship, whether it's in business or children or couples, if one person has the emotional center colored in, I just say they pretty much dominate. You have to allow them to have the time. That you can't hurry them along. I mean, it takes them. Mine is not colored in. I've been in relationship with someone that was. We lived together for 4 years, and it was like just getting out the door. It was like I was always ready before him. There's just this
second guessing. we second guess ourselves because of our mood changes, because we're always in our feelings, and our feelings are always changing. And so, do I feel like going out? Yeah, but oh, maybe I don't. and we're unsure. It takes a while to process what our feelings, how to find agreement with our feelings, and so we're always in that space of recognizing our emotions and working with them. And people who are undefined, it's like, no, they don't want to go there. It's not comfortable to live through your feelings. You'd rather just be in a more calm space.
Yes, provided the space is calm from the person that has the emotional center. the person that has the defined emotional center, if they have an upset about something, the other person that doesn't have that colored in is going to feel it and potentially be affected by it. So
it's
in relationships, when I do, you know, partnership sessions, it's like that, you know, that's always one of the main topics, is how to understand that, first of all, and how to cope with it in a day-to-day basis. Because it's always changing, and there's just a lot of space and time that's required.
Yeah, so learning about how our emotions work in different designs is really important, because when you don't know human design, you think everyone's going to be designed the same way, and we should, you know, there are all these self-help books out there that tell people how to live their lives, but they're based on the author's design. And they're telling everybody how to live their design.
Exactly. And, you know, we could get into more detail about it. It's like some people, their emotions spike. You know, it's very quick to be upset or quick to react. And others take a little bit more time in, you know, before anything gets expressed. So, you know, just really understanding some of the nuances of that in each person's chart can really make a difference, particularly
in... There are subtleties in everyone's chart that explain how their emotions work or not, and that us analysts can look at and really see those nuances.
Yeah, and it's really important to understand that, particularly in intimate relationships.
Sure.
Can make all the difference.
So let's just go down to the first chakra on the bottom, whether it's white or whether it's tan, and so it's colored in or not, it's defined or not. And when it's undefined, what does that mean to you, Regina?
Well, if it's undefined, this is a pressure center, and this is where stress comes in. And so people that do not have this colored in do not have a consistent mechanism to handle stress. So the kind of stress like in traffic or being in crowds or, you know, being at a store and they say, you know, we're closing in 5 minutes. I mean, anything that, you know, puts some kind of urgency on us.
Also, if people put urgency on them, if they have a boss who gives them last-minute assignments and puts pressure on them.
Yeah, then they it causes stress. You know,
right.
They don't necessarily have a consistent mechanism to handle stress. People that have it colored in have an easier time in handling stress. It's like, oh, not a big deal. You know, the guy's behind you honking to get your car out of the way, and it's like, yeah, I'll get there. But the person with the open center would react.
Right. Okay, so that's an important center to understand about ourselves. What about the diamond in the middle of the chart, if it's colored in or not? And if it's colored in, it's a yellow color. If it's otherwise, it's white. So if it's mine is white. Mine is undefined. So what does that tell you about me?
Well, that tells me that you're someone that doesn't always know who you are.
you can really
identify with people, that when you're one-on-one with someone, that you can really identify with who they are and absorb who they are in a way. That maybe someone like I, who have a colored in, I would not. Like mine is... Mine is more consistent. My identity is consistent.
Right. You are Regina.
Yes.
That's who you are. Whereas I'm Peter, but, you know, whatever. I mean, I have to be me, and I know that I know how I am, but I don't know what it means to be me. And so it's kind of an amorphic place. But when we're parents of children who are undefined, we have to really nurture their identity. We have to show them who they are and help them define themselves. Even though they'll go through a whole life without definition, they'll at least be conditioned as children to feel good about who they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's really important for parents to understand about their children, you know, these particular centers, but that one as well. There's, because I notice with people that don't have that colored in, that there, you know, there's certain kinds of insecurities that are hard to satisfy as an adult.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get that nurturing as children.
Right. It's so vulnerable. So I really like to show parents when they have children who are designed that way how to work with them. It's very valuable. And then, you know, we could go on and on. We only have a few minutes left. And there's so much about human design. I know that when we give people chart readings, they can go on for hours because there's so much detail. And people are so fascinating. I just did a chart reading for a guy yesterday who just, he said, it's just amazing that it nailed him so exactly to his uniqueness in life and all about him in ways that were unfailing through the whole reading. And so it's an amazing system.
Yeah, I've only met maybe one or two people out of thousands that have ever, like, not connected with it. And normally there was some kind of neurosis that was in the way. It wasn't just human design. It was other things that they just couldn't relate to. So most people are just, you know, find it profoundly accurate. And
right.
So what we've been talking about today is just not accurate about yourself, but accurate about the people in your life and how this can really create a lot less stress in our relationships.
Right. It's so important to know the charts of the people who you're in relationship with so that you can work with them better and see the differences between them and us. And so, Regina Concatelli, you know, it's always great talking with you.
Oh, thank you.
And you gave your email address, regina@alignwithyourdesign.com.
Yeah. And I'll leave a phone number, too, 619-787-8750. Thank you so much, Peter. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, great pleasure talking with you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I would like to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.